I was married from home, and I'll die in America.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another one of our great Medical Tuesday broadcasts with your host, our Colonel, Kimberly Purvis. And tonight's topic is sports injuries, etc. So it could be a lot more than just sports injuries and medicine. Glad that you're all here. For those of you new just tuning in to us, be sure to check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Before you hit that join button, just know that we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout all we do here in the Defenders 7. We have a website, all lowercase letters, www.defender7.com. On our website, you will find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something from our store or hit that donate button. It's the only way we're able to do what we do here in the Defender 7. Help us to help you and your community in time of need. We have a YouTube channel. Hop over there and hit that subscribe button. We're on MeWe. Click on Communities. Scroll down to Defender 7. Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Yes, that's right, folks. We are not a militia. Now, for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Brog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in with your thoughts, your opinions, or just join the conversation. We're just looking for participation. And that number to call is area code 914-205-5773. Too shy to call in. We are also live right here in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio during each broadcast. So either way, hop in here, come chat with us. Now we have a few minutes before your host comes on. And before that time, you have to listen to my glorious voice. I know, right? Shoot me in the foot. So about our organization, we are an LLC, nonprofit, and we mean what we say as far as where money goes, and how we handle it. And it really, truly goes back to our communities. There's a lot of organizations out there that do the same, but the only difference is they keep 90% of money and only distribute 10% or less. So we're not like them. All 100% goes back to our communities. We do shows right here on Blog Talk Radio. Monday night is our missing persons worldwide. We're a big advocate and supporter of the missing. Tuesday night, of course, like tonight, is our medical Tuesday night broadcast. Then you have Thursday night, which is our current events, which covers the whole nation, the whole United States, and overseas. We also have Saturday night. Sometimes it's trivia. Sometimes it's history. We always have a good show going on. And those of you that want to participate, we appreciate you. For our channel does go nationwide and global. If you have any suggestions on show topics, something you would like to hear, something you would like to even show up and discuss, that's what our channel's for. Always looking for topics. Either reach out to us right here on Blog Talk when we're doing our radio shows, or reach out to one of us privately if you would like. This is your radio station. Use it. Now I see that we have Major Lorna Munson and a blast from the past, our very own Mrs. Dawn Welsh Ormsby.
Hey guys.
Hi, Don.
Hey honey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
How's that Florida weather treating you?
I'm in Virginia right now.
Oh. How's the Virginia weather treating you?
I hate it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I absolutely hate it.
She's in Virginia dreaming of Florida.
Ah.
Yeah, we go back and forth with the boy. I haven't... gotten there permanently yet for the winter. Virginia is very dreary. It's cold. We're in the mountains. It stinks.
Ah, I know the stink thing.
Yeah, because it's
that
not
Saturday. That town that I was in Tennessee smelled like rotten eggs.
It's just so cold.
It's not too bad here. I think it's 50.
So in
there's
case
no
you don't
sand
know,
between
Dawn,
my toes and no sun.
In case you don't know, Dawn, we have to cover for Kimberly. She said she'd have to start like at 8:30.
Okay, did you have anything specific you wanted to start with?
Well, I mean, the topic tonight is sports injuries, et cetera. I mean, I'm sure she's got her plan out for the sports injury part. Because, I mean, if you look in the past couple days from the past few football games, a lot of it's, you know, concussions and ACL tears.
Well, unfortunately, I've had a lot of experience with concussions.
Yes.
My daughter has had 13 of them. My son has had 3. And mine, they stopped counting. Because actually they think that all the brain issues that I was having was traumatic brain injury also. From me hitting my head so much. It's they treat it based off of symptoms. You know, they try to do medication, they do resting of the brain, recovery time, those kind of things. But, I mean, there's been a lot of football guys that have really, like, been very concerning with their head injuries.
Yes. Yes, and that goes back a few years, that, you know, with the studies. But most recently, what team was it? Was it the Cowboys?
Miami, I think. Was it Miami?
Or Miami, yeah. Miami Dolphins. And
now,
you know, his specialist said that, you know, he shouldn't play anymore, but who knows?
So the protocol testing that they did apparently was done also by an outside service. I don't know which way to go with that or the information, because, you know, they hire these outside companies because they're looking for a different answer. And I don't know that much about either or to have I have an opinion, but I don't know that it's an accurate one.
Right.
But I mean, that apparently that guy should not have been, you know, anywhere near a field.
Very true. It's like, you know, I can't count. I mean, when I was born, I had a problem with concussions all the time. And I couldn't tell you how many I had growing up, but I had a lot. So as opposed to now with, I guess, nowadays with medicines and vaccines that you get and whatnot is a big factor. That's my opinion. Because, like I said, I can't count how many concussions I actually had.
Well, I mean, the neurological end of it is very difficult to treat and diagnose. because it's all symptoms. So they're they're just treating it based off of your symptoms.
Right.
Like,
well,
Zinc was out of school. She was out of, she got 13, and the last time she was out of school for 6 months and medicated for over a year. Up until her senior year. But they didn't want her playing, but, you know, it was one of those things. You know, her college was riding on it, and it was something that she wanted to do. So, you know, I had had so many of them because of, you know, the boxing. And I didn't, honestly, I didn't think it was that much of a big deal. But, I mean, you ask me now at my age, and I'm like, don't do it. But, you know, back then I would say, you know, go ahead and do it. I mean, she was in bad shape for a long time.
Sure. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, mine was so bad that they actually had a homemade, at the time, because I'm talking, I was like 3-4 years old on up. I had a helmet because of how many times my head would hit the floor, and it, you know, it's a mystery because even my mom and dad said through the years, I wasn't expected to live past my 18th birthday.
Why?
Now,
is that?
That's not including, they never, and I still to this day still look back to try to find answers on that. And I could never find the answers, because at 15, I was told by a doctor in the office without a parent that I had MS and some other disorder, neurological. And that's when I was told that a second time that I wouldn't live past my 18th birthday. I'm 55, soon to be 56 this month. So what's that tell you?
Yeah, I'm curious to know, because a lot of those neurological things go down to your children.
Right.
You know, it's similar to like an epilepsy. So I wonder, you know, I wonder where the hell they came up with that for you, or why.
I have no clue. And like I said, I've been, you know, I've asked my parents for years, and they kept telling me they didn't understand. And I'm like, well, do you have medical records? And they're like, oh, we lost those years ago. And I'm like, well, then what's the explanation? Because, I mean, I've even had a couple of concussions during my military career, too.
And here we just thought you were brain damaged.
Yeah, that's from knowing you and Lorna.
And you're still wearing a helmet, licking windows, too.
No, you do. You just lick windows.
Yeah, I know.
Nah, but
Jake,
seriously,
we had to buy her, like, special headgear and stuff.
Right.
To wear.
Like I said, you're talking like the 60s. I think I was like maybe 1% kids that had to have a helmet on.
Now, have you had any like additional brain scans or anything since you were a kid, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Especially when I drowned. I was in a coma for over 6 weeks.
I wonder why they couldn't find anything then.
And they still, it still baffles them doctors. It baffles my primary care doctor right now, because after she found out that, you know, my medical history, and she's like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, and I have no answers to my questions.
Yeah, because, I mean, that has so much to do with everything.
Yep.
And like I said, if it's something from a child, that could be passed on to your own children or your grandchildren. Like, that's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to turn into chicken noodle soup, just saying. All I eat.
That's why you need to down here and let me take care of you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Come on over to Wisconsin.
I'm on my way.
It's sunny and balmy.
No. Dawn would be more happy here because it's warm.
Yeah, Lauren, I need warm weather. I can't stand this coldness.
I like the cold. I couldn't take that humidity in Tennessee. That made me hurt.
Your place in Florida is the perfect 80 all year long.
Yeah?
Low humidity. We're right on the Gulf, so we're out some. So we don't get a lot of that humidity.
Yeah, Lorna, we don't know about that. We're not billionaires.
I wish I was a billionaire.
Hey, Don, I got a question for you. I just recently heard that people in Florida cannot get house insurance. Is that true?
No, that is not accurate.
No.
You can
get
it.
They can't get health insurance because of the hurricanes, and they're always getting destroyed.
No, you have to pay more. I mean, you're...
I thought that sounded kind of funny.
Yeah, it's just like anything else. I mean, if you live in a tornado thing, you have to have better insurance. I mean, and why wouldn't you want it? Because you're paying for your own crap to be replaced. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't want to replace the stuff. You know what I mean? I don't want to replace it. I'm right on the beach. I don't want to replace the stuff in my place. So I'd rather pay a higher premium than putting that all out of pocket. And most places, you have to carry it anyway.
Right.
It's whether it falls under your homeowners or your renters.
Yeah.
Because, I lost that $100,000 wedding ring, in the hurricane.
Oh, I'm sure. I lost a 5'7", 200-pound boy. I'm talking about Jay, not Johnny.
I knew who you were talking about.
Yeah, Johnny's a little bit taller than that.
Yeah.
No, but
and bigger.
You just DeSantis won't let you do price gouging. I don't know if that's what they're referring to, but DeSantis won't let you price gouge.
I think Jamie was telling me that.
They're very old school in Florida. Our police chiefs and stuff like that, they're very old school. Like they said, if a looter comes to your property, you shoot them. And he said it on live TV. Like our people don't play around there.
Yeah, the governor said that.
Yeah, it's definitely a Republican state. This past weekend, that's all you saw was DeSantis and Trump stuff all over. I don't think I've ever seen a Biden sign in Florida. I haven't.
No, and you won't. The ones you see around here got bullet holes in them.
Our place is definitely in the Santa supporters.
Come on, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Who was that?
Not bye. You want to say hi?
I
don't. Hi. Who is that?
It's Stephanie. She's radio jive.
Oh. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Kiss my butt, Buttercup.
Keep it up. I'm calling my brother and telling him to call you.
Oh, please, God, no. No. I'm good.
Put your angry cat away, Seth.
My who?
Your angry cat away.
Yeah, my angry cat comes out around this time of the evening. How much fucking foot is this, dude?
That means they're dirty.
No, they ain't dirty. They're clean. But
she's Italian. You know it.
We got that great stuff, man.
Get a wipe and wipe them off.
What'd
Are
you say?
Sweating? Get a wipe and wipe them off.
No, she just needs to learn to use water and shampoo and
what does
soap
that too have to
soap
do with your feet? And I use
what
shampoo and soap every fucking day of my life.
You have to actually get in the shower.
I get in the shower. How?
Stephanie, you know what you
what
need? Horseradish.
$1 million?
Horseradish.
We all need that.
Okay. Who has fucking horseradish? Oh, my God.
I never met anybody
who used horseradish on pretty much everything she eats.
Hey, Dawn. Dawn. When Lorna lived here,
oh my God, her and
she wanted to ruin one of my good steaks off the grill with horseradish.
I don't know. Lorna, wasn't it your daughter that eats like burgers with mustard or some bullshit?
Burgers with mustard?
She also put mustard on her burger. Fucking
horseradish.
She
was going to ruin a Philly cheesesteak that I made for the first time by putting that shit on it.
You took it away from me. I didn't get to use it.
Yeah, because I wanted you to experience what a Philly cheesesteak was.
Well, now you gotta come up to Wisconsin and make me another one because I forgot what it tastes like.
I forgot how to get there. What's that?
Well, I'm not.
I said, was it chip steak?
Yes.
Marta,
you want
damn
good.
You want good chip steak? You eat mine.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I make amazing cheese steak.
Oh yeah, she shows all the pictures of the food she makes and everything, but she don't offer her cousin Bobby any.
Dude, I haven't cooked in so long.
I know, but that's what I'm talking about. Is when you used to send me pictures and talk about all the good shit you're making
and all the tomatoes. I remember all the tomatoes.
Yep.
Dave's mom just took her last ones off of her garden. I made eggplant parm at Mom's house a couple weeks ago. But besides that, I haven't cooked a dinner in Virginia. Haven't cooked in Florida. And I think I cooked John's chicken when he had his wisdom teeth out. That's it. I haven't cooked in over a year.
Oh, dang.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing to do, though. I love to cook.
Hell yeah.
I love to cook.
I do, too.
But staying at Jay's mom, we don't have to cook.
Right? That's good Southern cooking right there.
Yeah, she's a real Southern belle, that one.
And we're just trying to teach Lorna how to cook.
No,
Lorna,
that's all right.
Do you cook for yourself every night, Lorna?
No, Jamie cooks.
Yeah, microwave. Microwave.
I hate cooking. I absolutely hate cooking. And no, I do not like microwave food. That's freaking nasty.
So what?
I just make.
You don't like what?
I don't like cooking. I don't like microwave food either. I don't like fast food, so I'm kind of in a dilemma.
Okay, so now your host, our colonel, is now on, and so is Dr. Philmy. I mean, Phil.
Hi, guys.
2 minutes late.
Hey. Listen. I just had to.
I got the heads up.
A 30-page inspection of a house that we're trying to buy. And, there's some serious issues that have to be addressed. Like, it still has the original breaker boxes from 1957. So
wow.
We have to address this five, which makes no sense.
Well,
but they put different sections of the house on a different breaker.
Yes.
Is it FYI? Stuff that is built back in the 50s is way better than the stuff that's built now.
Oh, no. Federal Pacific lost their licensure for electrical boxes. So they've been banned. Unless you're buying a house and you're flipping it, you cannot buy a house and not have those boxes replaced.
You have to bring it to code.
Yeah,
have somebody go in and steal all the copper.
Yep. Well, hey, remember back in the day in the attics when they had bare wires on porcelain insulators just running along the truss?
Heck yeah.
I don't know if
you guys
that was something. You have to go over page by page and each category, whatever he has. And so we have to address each one. And, like, there's a gas leak on the heating unit. And so that can't be repaired. They have to replace the whole entire HVAC system. It's not the code. It's a safety thing. And so I'm like, all this little petty stuff, like there's a couple broken faceplates on the outside. I'm not going to cry about all that. But,
you can get an estimate on repairs on all that stuff and then have them deducted from the cost of the house if it's something you're really interested in.
Holy echo. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn, buy as is it?
No, they didn't put as is on the house. So that's why they're going to have to pay for it. And unless they're upside down on the house, but I don't think they are. So they listed the house way over, and so the appraiser's got to go in and he's going to say, look, this house isn't worth this much money with these problems. So they're either going to have to lower the house price, like probably $20,000 or more, and then, or they're going to have to fix it, and the repair cost comes out of the sale of the house.
Well, hope
so,
yeah,
I would definitely do what Phil suggested and get estimates so that you know that you're getting the right monies for what has to be done.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The seller's agent or broker, whatever, he's already said, okay, we're already on it. We already knew, and he already knew what to expect. I think they knew. It's just that if they would have done all the repairs before they listed it, it would have come out of pocket. Now that we've gone into a contract, it'll come out of the sale of the house. So they're not really coming out of pocket on anything. So, but it's all right.
Yeah,
I mean, if we can't,
but you're still
if we can't come to a agreement,
the right amount of money though for the stuff that has to be done.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If I'm going to pay $175 for this three-bedroom house on an acre of land, they're going to have to pay for all the repairs. Then it will be, they have to update it. Then it will be worth it. If they refuse, then I'm going to say, well, guess what? I ain't buying it. So, and then that's when they're going to have to suck it up, and they'll never be able
but
to sell the house.
You know, if you're financing it also, your lender can also go out there and do an estimate for you as well. Or you can even request an estimate from your bank. If you're paying outright cash, your bank will send one of their estimators out there and have them go over it for you on your behalf. They'll charge you a fee for that, of course.
Well, the lender is sending out, I mean, my bank, that's the lender, they're the ones who's sending out the appraiser on the 14th.
Yeah,
so that's
good. But keep in mind that they don't have your best interest in heart either. They have their own.
No,
I just worked out $400 for this house. No.
Same thing with the inspection, Kim. The inspection is hired by
the bank.
Seller of the
Do
house.
I? No, no.
Yeah.
I had to pay for the inspection.
Yep.
On my own.
Yeah, but who hired them? Where's he from?
Me. Oh, I hired them. I had to go find. We had to find one. Yeah, yeah. It's not the seller's inspector. And the reason is they could find someone that's crooked and say, "Oh, it's all fine," and that's why the buyer has to come up with the inspector. And we had to do a termite inspection and all of that, which that came out fine, but. I honestly think they just overpriced the house a little bit enough to cover the cost of the repairs. Because they just put in two full bathrooms and had to remodel the bathrooms. Part of the kitchen got remodeled and, you know, all the other stuff. And I just think they ran out of money and we're going to pay for it out of the sale of the house. Which I don't care. As long as it gets fixed, I don't care. Or I back out of the contract.
Yeah. And you're also not going to sell a house without making a profit. I mean, that would kind of be silly.
Oh, true. But honestly, I don't even think the house, if they don't do repairs, it's not even worth $100,000 if they don't do the repairs. So the appraiser, when the appraiser comes in, he's going to say, this house ain't worth $175,000 when you have all of these electrical problems. It still has the same of, you know how back in the day, the oven and the range top, it's not a one-piece unit. It has the range top that you put on the counter that you build into it, and then the oven's on the other side of the kitchen on the wall. It still has the same one from 1957. So I said
the one that was in my Haddonfield house had on the top, the one that was in my Haddonfield house when I bought it, the top of it was a inside of a bakery, and the top part of it was all glass and an oven, but it was like 4 foot by 3 foot. Just
oh,
the
yeah,
top part
plenty
of it.
Ovens. I told him, I said, you know what? Mm-hmm. It'll be cheaper to just take both of those out and replace it with a regular standing, you know what I'm saying, a regular modern stove and oven combined. It'll be cheaper in the long run. And I told him, you don't have to go out and buy a $500 oven or stove. You know, just buy one that works. You know, nothing fancy. You know, but yeah. So some things will be cheaper in the long run if they just replace it because it can't be repaired. So, and that was the main thing, was any safety, life-threatening safety concern has to be fixed before I can buy it. So, but, so yes, now I'm on my way home. So I really can't do anything as far as,
For that price, you might want to consult an architect and just have you build a home. Unless it has historical value, I guess. You know, I don't know.
Oh,
for $100,000?
It does.
For $100,000, I'll take 10. That's pretty cheap.
It's what?
For $100,000? That's cheap.
No, it's 175.
That's still cheap.
Oh, I know. And see, here's the thing. The first house we looked at was 385, and the VA is like, no. They wouldn't let me buy it. And it was a complete flip. And there was nothing wrong with this house. But the VA said it's overpriced for where it's at. Like all the other houses around were only worth $100,000, and they said there's no way. And they wouldn't let me buy it. So...
Crap, I came across a two-bedroom condo in Florida on the beach for $800,000.
Yeah, but you got to think, this is in Kansas.
I mean, that's just crazy. I gotta move to Kansas. I gotta move to Kansas.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We have some big, beautiful, gorgeous homes for $500,000 that you'd probably pay over $1 million for anywhere else.
Oh, yeah. We've been waiting for these little condos to drop since Biden got in office. And they're just not going down. But a two-bedroom, two-bath, 2,500 square feet are $800,000 right now.
And this house is 1,600 square feet on almost an acre of land. About 3/4 of an acre. So, I mean, I can't complain.
Oh,
I
can get an egg tomato plant on my patio.
And I was whining about this 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 14-acre place for $148,500.
Can you find a spark plug that would be equivalent to that one? I'm sorry.
What's that, Bill?
I'm sorry.
Report number?
You don't have this here. Let me go back again.
You found a 3-bedroom, 1-bath for $150,000?
3-bedroom, 1-bath, 14 acres for $148,500.
$148,500.
I will not buy a house with less than 2 bathrooms.
It won't matter to me because I'm by myself anyway, so, and I can turn one of the best.
Longmore and Briggs and Stratton, 450
Park website. We've learned the hard way. It's not happening with a one bath house. It's not
going to
work.
I've always had one bathroom.
Well, we have to have two. I'm not doing this one bathroom again.
You know, I've always had one bathroom, but I had plenty of trees outside, too.
Well, true. But when you're in the city, yeah, that's not going to cut it. it's not going to cut it at all. So,
another advantage of country living, just don't pee on poison ivy. Not a good idea.
Yeah. I think we're doing this all wrong.
What?
Our home. It's crazy. 14 acres. I would love that, I think.
I want that place bad, but I don't know. I haven't been out to look at it yet.
How much square footage is the house?
Hold on a minute. I don't know if it says on this. Let me go back and look at it.
That's the other thing you have to look at is you may find, like, just say, I found a 3-2. Okay, that's great. But how big is the house?
Oh, 1,244 square feet.
It's what?
How many?
1,244 square feet. So it's about the same size as my old house.
Yeah.
That's not that big.
You might have a huge kitchen but small bedroom. So
probably. That's why I said I could always turn the one bedroom into a bathroom if I wanted.
That's true. Oh, but yeah, the house that I was that first one was 4,000 square feet, 5 bedrooms, three baths. But
hey, Bobby.
Who's beeping?
Bob.
You got the signal.
Bobby.
Right here.
Yeah.
You still.
What?
Huh?
Are you doing a beeping call still?
I'm still here. I'm just picking up a spark plug for the lawnmower.
All right, well, you forgot to mute us.
I need to mute it?
Yeah, because we can hear everything.
You're beeping.
I'm sorry. Let me mute it. I'll be right back. I'm sorry about that.
So what all have you guys been chit-chatting about for the first 30 minutes?
Concussion.
The lack of
concussion. Oh, yeah. Well, I wanted to go over sports injuries. And there's so many different. And the thing about sports injuries, you can actually get some of these in general in life. So it's kind of hard for me because I still have a little ways till I get home. I got about 15 more minutes, and I can't really do anything for the next 15 minutes. But he went over concussions, he said.
We were just talking about them, about how many each of them had them.
There's different types of concussions. You could get, like, a lot of football players get concussions. Any contact sport, we're going to say, any contact sport. But honestly, you could get concussions from anything. And it's like whiplash, car accidents, and things like that. Now, there is another type of concussion. It's called a contra coup, where your brain actually bounces. It actually hits the front part of your skull to the back, to the front. So depending on how hard you get hit or how bad your accident is or whatever, your brain can bounce back and forth, and you can actually bruise your brain.
Well, that was
uneventful. Huh?
Oh, Jamie just got back.
Oh. With a lot of contra coup injuries, they also call them TBIs or traumatic brain injury. And see, at one point I used to think that only the military got TBIs. But when I went to the neurologist, he's like, no, any serious concussion, they consider it to be a TBI. as well. But, like, the one serious one that I had, my vision got really blurry, and because your vision is in the back of your on the back of your brain, in your occipital lobe, that's the back. And so when your brain goes back and forth and you get it bruised, you get blurred vision. Sometimes you might get temporary blindness until the bruising goes away. But also, you may get black eyes, depending on how hard your head gets hit. You can get black eyes from it. So it's really important. That's why they do the neuro check, especially with these football players. I'm trying to think of what his name was. Tua, he was for the Miami Dolphins, the player. 2 weeks ago, he got a concussion, and he fell over right there on the field. But instead of them taking him out of the game and get checked, they let him continue to play. And then again, the next week, he got hit again, and it looked like he had a seizure, but that's not what it was. So that's why it's really important when you have a concussion that you go get checked. You know, and back in the day, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, if you ever got knocked unconscious from any type of concussion, they used to say, don't let the person sleep for like 4 hours. It's actually changed, and it's probably going to change again. But like every 15 minutes, they're saying the person can go ahead and go to sleep, but like every 15 minutes, check their eyes, their pupils, and make sure you can arouse them, and you don't always have to wake them completely up, and then do it every 15 minutes for like 4 hours. Again, depending on the type of injury that that you have. So, but concussions are a big thing, and the more you have, I don't know what it is anymore. With contact sports, I don't know how many you're only allowed to go up to before you're not allowed to play anymore. So, is there any amount that for like softball or anything like that?
Yes, it's supposed to be 3.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the state and the sport, but
yeah. So I know I was talking about my daughter earlier.
Do what?
My daughter has 13. But
13?
Yes.
Wow.
So what happens? So they treat symptoms is how they do it. So all of hers weren't actually marked as concussions because we hid them. We hid them. That's where all this is where all this concussion protocol has come from. Cannot lie and get away with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But
We did it with my daughter because she was trying to get her scholarship. But she also had them in multiple sports, but through the same high school. So when they started doing all the brain scans and stuff, they estimated that she had 9 priors. We knew that she definitely had 8 prior, but we did not report them all.
Yeah.
And we did the
there could be varying degrees of them.
Right, because they only treat symptoms. Because I have a brain injury. I have traumatic brain injury from hitting my head and from boxing. All the shots to the head because I never wore anything to my head. So if you get a headache, they consider that a form of a concussion.
Did you have bad headaches?
Oh, yeah. Shit. I used to get really... Well, yeah, and I'm
screwed because
yeah.
I've
well,
had
I mean, there's other symptoms also, but you have to take direct hits to your head.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, well, they only treat symptoms.
Yeah, I've had 11, and. Like I've had three from a car accident, from three separate car accidents. My ex-husband used to knock me around. I've had my head slammed into a tiled wall, and then I had a couple in the military. So, but yeah, my neurologist was like, "Dude, we need to put a helmet on you." And I'm like, you know, none of these are planned. But like I said, with concussions, a lot of times your vision is always affected by concussion. You could also get really dizzy, lightheaded. A lot of concussions can cause headaches.
Do you have your laptop or your computer in front of you?
Oh no, I'm still driving.
Oh okay. Does anybody have a laptop
yeah,
or a computer?
Drive. Do what? Nice.
Anybody have, like, a laptop or a computer in front of them?
Bobby? He should. Why, what you want me to look
no,
up?
No, I don't.
Nobody has a computer or laptop? Oh, okay. All right. Well, no.
I don't.
I was going to give you a good resource.
I got, like, 10 minutes.
All right. Concussion. My source is the Family Practice Notebook. It's available online to anybody. It's called FP Notebook. And concussion is synonymous with mild traumatic brain injury, which is the preferred medical term, a mild traumatic brain injury and or minor head injury. It's the mildest form of a TBI. You guys, you military folks know what a TBI is. In which your Glasgow coma score is between 13 and 15. You have some acute trauma-induced mental function alteration, and some transient loss of consciousness is possible 10% of the time and 40% of the time whenever they arrive to the emergency room. So, risk factors, active duty, military. But let me talk about the symptoms. There's a concussion symptom checklist I'll go over in a minute. But the number one symptom is going to be a headache 75% of the time with blurred vision. So you're going to have headache and or blurred vision 75% of the time. Headache may not be like pain. It could be just be pressure. You're going to have dizziness 60% of the time, and 54% of the time you experience nausea or vomiting. 11% experiences double vision, so blurred vision versus double vision, more so blurry. Some people will experience noise sensitivity or light sensitivity, slurred speech, irritable or sad, and altered sleep patterns. Imbalance or incoordination typically lasts 3 to 5 days after the concussion, and loss of consciousness is present in 10% of concussions. General signs could be amnesia, disorientation, confusion, a vacant stare, delayed answers to questions, poor concentration and attention, or decreased verbal learning and memory. Red flags for a severe head injury are going to be mental status changes. If the loss of consciousness is for more than 60 seconds, if they're very sleepy or confused, disoriented, or they're having language or speech deficits or memory deficits. You're going to have some eye findings, which would suggest a brainstem dysfunction, visual disturbances. The pupils are unequal, and they could be fixed or dilated. Extraocular movements are abnormal. The upper motor neurons in your checking deep tendon reflexes are going to be hyper. And you're going to have a Babinski present. I don't know if you guys know what a Babinski is, but it's one of the things we check. So you definitely want to do a Glasgow coma grading on every patient that has hurt their head. So let me go over the concussion symptom checklist.
What is that called, Phil? A Glasgow?
It's called FP, as in family practice. FPnotebook.com. There's an app available for it, or you can just use the internet version. It's free to use, and you can just look up any sort of category, and it will tell you more information than you care to know.
Yeah,
all right,
I have
so,
to handle it on my phone.
So the symptom checklist for concussion for those over 10 years in age, it consists of 22 questions, and each question is assigned, one to two, three to four, five or six, but it's called a SCAT2, SCA2, symptom concussion. It's called a sideline concussion evaluation or something like that. So, number one, the symptoms of concussions could be headache or pressure in the head, neck pain, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, blurred vision, balance problems, sensitive to light, sensitive to noise, feeling slowed down, feeling in a fog, you just don't feel right, difficulty concentrating, difficulty remembering, fatigue or low energy, confusion, drowsiness, trouble falling asleep, you're more emotional, irritable, you're sad, you're nervous, or you're anxious. So there's 22
now.
Questions, and then you score them based upon whether it's not, you don't have it, 1 to 2 points for mild, 3 to 4 for moderate, 5 to 6 for severe, and the maximum total score, 22. So...
Is that
now,
okay.
You had...
Go ahead. One at a time?
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Dawn. No, go ahead.
Is that similar to the impact test?
The impact test, like for a paratrooper?
No. Impact testing that you take for concussions.
Oh, it's called... This on the family nurse, well, on the family, it's called a sports concussion assessment tool. So SCAT5. So that's one. So that's for, like, I guess for sports concussions assessments. So yeah, I guess maybe it's similar, but not the same.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, the NFL concussion protocols are intact right now, but it's, you know, seems like after the last few games, if anyone watches football, we're now going to have to play flag football with our quarterbacks.
Now, what happened? Did you see what happened with Tua or whatever his name is with the Dolphins?
I did not see what happened to him, but I did see what happened last night to the guy from the guy from Kansas City, Patrick something. Anyway, that was a bad call. And then what happened with Tom Brady, I guess they're trying to take care of the old guy, but they rushed. He had the ball. They sacked him, but because the full body weight of the player fell on top of the sacked quarterback during the tackle, it was assessed as a penalty of roughing the passer. How do you not tackle a guy without roughing them up, I guess? So, but that's the new protocols, and everyone's saying in the NFL they're going to change it, but they can't do it until the season's over.
Now,
so
I have a question.
They're going to be playing flag football with our NFL quarterbacks now.
Oh, yeah, I know. So I got a question about multiple TBIs.
Okay.
Okay. So if you have multiple serious TBIs, right, car accident, whatever, could that impact short-term memory loss?
Oh, definitely. Yes, definitely. Because you're,
I've had 11. I've had 11 TBIs, and my short-term memory sucks ass. I have no short-term memory. Very little. Very little. Everything from the from like more than a year before, I'm good. It's that like minutes to weeks. I have to write everything down, or I will forget. It's pretty bad. So I didn't know if that was having multiple TBIs would make a serious impact with short-term memory.
Oh, just an individual TBI could do it. Thing is sometimes during a TBI your brain doesn't get oxygen for a minute because it's not thinking straight, and then that lack of that lack of oxygen can cause some necrosis of the brain cells. Such as what they used to tell us when they would smoke weed. You're getting your brain cells. You're killing your brain cells. But ischemia can develop, and anytime there's ischemia or lack of blood flow to the brain, tissues die, and it can cause memory problems, cognitive deficits, can cause motor deficits. I mean, it's basically a brief cerebral vascular accident or transient ischemic attack. So it's basically a very brief stroke.
Oh, okay. Which would lead to my next thing, because, I know with TIA, they have the facial drooping, or they can, the slurred speech, drooling. Can you have those? I just noticed I have, like, when I'm sleeping, sometimes I'll wake up, and I don't know if it's because I fall asleep, like, on my left side, and my whole left side's numb. I just noticed some odd little things that's going on. I was just wondering if that...
Yes, you can. And also,
okay.
That rebound concussion you were discussing earlier?
Yeah.
Which can also be caused in a whiplash accident. You know, you hit your car and then you come back forward, bang your head on the back of the seat rest. But that rebound concussion where the brain is being shooken back and forth, it can also induce swelling in the brain, and that could be very, very severe. If you are unconscious, you can assume one of the, you know, like a person who is having a seizure will have a specific posture, and whether their extremities are extended or their extremities are flexed, depending on the posturing, and that can suggest what part of the brain was concussed. So you can have a stroke-like presentation of a person who's been concussed, but as long as it's concerning if it lasts over 1 minute or 60 seconds.
Yeah, I was knocked out for like, I don't know, a minute around that. And then I happened to wake up and my truck's hanging off the side of the mountain. So, the only thing that stopped my truck from falling off was 100 gallon propane tank and a 25 gallon tank. One wheel was on the side of the mountain. The other three were off. I'm lucky to be alive. And that's when my brain did that little contrapunta, you know, back and forth, and my vision got blurry and all that for a while. And I had a lot of severe migraines. So I was just wondering about the multiple TBIs or concussions, if that could be affecting
your short-term memory.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah,
it is, obviously.
I forgot. I did, obviously, yeah.
I just had a brain fart.
Good,
or... I was looking for the risk factors of a concussion, and the number one risk factor for getting a concussion on the FP Notebook website is active duty military deployed to combat regions. 15% of the U.S. troops involved in Iraq and Afghanistan suffered a traumatic brain injury. The number two risk factor is non-sports related, such as falls or vehicle-related injuries. Number three is contacts. And down at number five, it's the female gender. Women are at higher risk of concussions. Secondary symptoms of cognitive impairment and prolonged recovery. Women are more likely to be injured by contact with playing surface or equipment, contrast to men who are most often injured by player-to-player contact. So maybe a woman will get hit in the head with a golf ball, or a woman will get hit in the head with a tennis ball, or but they're at higher risk of the concussions, and they're at higher risk of having secondary symptoms, including cognitive impairment and prolonged recovery. So you might be right.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I mean, like I said, some of my concussions, I got my bell rung pretty hard. I would say out of the 11, probably only four of them were minor.
Well,
so,
a minor traumatic brain injury is a concussion. When it becomes more severe than just a minor traumatic brain injury, then it's no longer considered a concussion. It's considered a TBI. But a concussion is the mildest form of a TBI in medicine. So
I always thought TBIs were completely associated with the military, but they're not.
Yeah, but they're not. No, a lot of people have experienced TBIs. They just didn't call it that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To answer your question, I learned that if you don't know the answer to a question, at least know where to find the answer. So if you've been on your Google and you type in Google Advanced Search, you can search for scholarly articles regarding that question you asked. Do multiple concussions or mild TBIs result in term memory loss? And if you type it in, you're probably going to get an article kicked back, which is going to answer your question. And it'll probably be from the National Institute of Health or the National Psychiatric or Neurologic Society, but something that's like a valid source to answer that question.
Yeah.
Does it help?
Yeah. No, I mean, I just noticed that and that's why I was also wondering about the amount of migraines and things like that, if that could be just, you know. Now, so how much
it's hard to put a nexus on
that,
because a big differential for migraines, and you could say, okay, history of TBIs. Yes, a lot of times I can get vets connected for that when they come in with the DBQs or disability benefits questions. If there was no proof of having migraines in the past, and then I have to rule out all the other causes. And one of the number one causes for migraines is being female hormonal imbalances.
Yeah. Now, how much damage can, whether it's a sports injury or a car accident, either one, it doesn't matter. Can a severe TBI or whatever cause damage to the brainstem itself?
Absolutely. It can you get a severe TBI, you can also have swelling on the brain, which is called hydrocephalus, and in that case, if that pressure is not relieved off of the brain from the swelling, you will die, because it will pinch off the circulation of the brain at the brainstem, and every function of life comes from that brainstem.
Oh, in answer to you, remember you said, I did look it up, and it, yeah, multiple TBIs can affect, cause short-term memory loss.
Is that what the National Institute of Health?
That is under, no, that's a traumatic, well, that's a clinic that does TBIs. Well, Vanderbilt, here.
Hey, just reword your search and say scholarly articles, and it'll give you research-based evidence.
I did not realize that soccer, they get, you know, with all the times they have to hit the ball with their head, getting hit in the head. I didn't even realize about soccer.
Get kicked in the head too, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always thought football, baseball, or softball, hockey, things like that would cause. I didn't even think about soccer.
Rugby. Ooh, that's a fun one.
Oh, yeah, rugby. That's a cross between soccer.
We have a couple from soccer, Tim, from taking headers.
Huh?
We have
a couple
from soccer headers. From heading the ball.
Yeah.
My daughter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I never thought that, because you can't use your hands. You have to use your head or your feet, and not thinking how many times do you actually keep doing that if that's going to constantly cause.
Actually, more often in soccer than most sports.
Well, another answer that comes to mind for that question, Colonel, is look at Muhammad Ali and how punch drunk he was as he got older.
Oh yeah, that's right. Now didn't his end up causing him Parkinson's?
Maybe an induced Parkinson's, but. From all of the concussions that he suffered during his boxing career, it led to that cognitive decline as he got older. So probably was a combination of all that.
What was that website you said, FB what? Family-based?
Family practice, right? FP notebook. FPnotebook.com.
Because I tried to do it, I did it on my phone, but it's saying you got to pay $10 a month.
Nah, not true. Nah, just search for FP Notebook and click on it. Because I'm looking at it right now. You can buy the app. Now, the app will ask you to pay for stuff. But if you just use the online version, FPNotebook.com, on your Google search.
No,
whatever.
On my phone,
yeah.
I downloaded the same thing, the Family Practice Notebook, and it's coming up at.
Yeah, the Family Practice Notebook wants you to get the purchased version of it, but you don't have to. You can use the online version for free.
Oh, okay. Well, I would, because you know what, that really would help me out at work.
It really does. I mean, like I said, it gives you more information than you need to know.
Oh, really?
Yep. Let's see here. Treatments. I'm thinking about treatments and management. Well, you know, in general, you got to manage the head injury. There's a whole set of protocols for that. You got to manage a possible cervical spine injury because you might have messed your neck up. Airway breathing and cardiac functions. If you know you have damage to the brainstem or the cervical spine, and let's see what else here. Cognitive and physical rest are important in reducing the risk of prolonged symptoms. So physical rest and cognitive symptoms may evolve or worsen over the first few days after a concussion. Symptoms may persist for weeks or months. Common symptoms typically resolve by 1 week. The most common symptom is a headache, dizziness, sleep disturbances, 4 weeks in most cases, impaired attention and memory. But see, here's the thing. I don't understand why they were talking about keeping a person awake after a concussion. I'm not sure if that's even the
protocol. That back in the day that we used to do.
Uh-huh.
And they would tell you to keep them awake because they say, oh, no, you can't let someone with a concussion fall asleep because they may not wake up. And then I would say in the last 10 years or so, my grandkids, oh, my God, they got so many knocked out. They fell off the back of the couch, hit the floor, and the doctor's like, oh, just wake them up every 15 minutes or make sure they arouse easily. And
I can see that in a hospital, where you're doing the GSC scores, GCS scores. They have to come in and check you every so often. And I would be really, really concerned with an elderly person, a diabetic, a person with atherosclerosis, or a person on blood thinners for hematomas secondary to the concussion. Subungual hematomas, or, you know, those are hard. You know, that's death. That could be death if you don't catch that.
Oh, yeah. We had a lady, I had to go when I was, actually it was the last time I was on call before I had my surgery. She probably was in her late 80s, early 90s, and she stood up, pushed her walker forward, and she fell over the walker, missed the window and the windowsill by inches, and hit her head on the corner of a table. And I'm like, just make sure you do neuro checks. They actually did neuro checks every five to 10 minutes for an hour, and then to 15 minutes for an hour, because she was on blood thinners and she was a heart patient.
Yep. Well, and if she was in a hospital, she would have definitely gotten an MRI or CT of the brain right away.
Oh, no. She was in a assisted living facility.
Yeah. And if that was the case, I would have sent her to the ER right away.
But see, here's the
but
thing.
But that's just me, though. I mean, they all have their own medical directors.
She's on hospice. She's on hospice.
Oh, on hospice. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, see, okay, when I got the family practice notebook, and on my phone it's saying I got to pay for it. Oh, it's $19.99 a year.
What's
okay.
your what kind of phone do you have?
An iPhone.
An iPhone? Oh, okay. Well, do you, on your phone, but you have Safari on the iPhone, right? Or what's your internet browser?
Yeah.
It's Safari? And on Safari, did you get on Safari and just go to www.fpnotebook.com?
Hold on, let me see. Because on my laptop, it come up and it's free and it's nothing. Let me go to Safari.
Uh-huh.
You said what?
Yeah, go to your internet browser, which I think is Safari on the iPhone, and then just go www.com and see what happens. Otherwise, for you know, if you're a medical professional, for $20 a year, that ain't bad, because that's a really good resource.
I just read it wrong. I thought it was $10 a month, but I was I'm like, I ain't paying no $10 a month. Shit, I'm trying to buy a house. I'm already broke. Okay, let me see. It's still saying Google. Yeah, it's the same one. Yeah, it's the same one, and it won't let me do it. So.
And it doesn't give you an option to just use the web-based version?
Nope.
On somewhere on that screen?
Nope. It's saying that you got to buy it for the year.
And
I might just do it because it's just a year.
Well, look at it on your laptop and see if it's something you'd be interested in buying. Yeah, but that's a really good program, really good resource. All of my students that I precept that come through, I introduce them to that. I also introduce them to a program that covers medications. It's called Epocrates, E-P-O-C-R-A-T-E-S. It's free to use. online. It's free to use on the app, but they have a paid version, so it has limited free usage. But I can look up medications, dosing, instructions for adults, pediatrics, find out the mechanism of action, what kind of monitoring I need to do if I put a patient on a medication. And then I can put multiple medications in a calculator for interaction checking, see if they're going to get along well as in addition to that. Other things like diseases and vitamins, minerals, and things like that. That's part of the paid version, but the unpaid version, just for if you want to know about autotoxicity of aminoglycoside antibiotics, you know, you can go deaf if you take those things, or hepatotoxicity of NSAIDs, or nephrotoxicity. NSAIDs can cause your kidneys to shut down. It'll tell you, you know, how to. Can I give a patient with a kidney function with a GFR of 30 an NSAID? It'll tell you how you can dose that person if you need to. So it's a good source for medication. So EPOCRATES, Hippocrates, and then the FP Notebook. Those are two really, really good sources for anyone studying medicine, interested in medicine, and or professionals.
I might actually see if we can download this app on our work phones, because I'm looking up, because here's the thing. When we get different illnesses that I don't know squat about or don't know enough, I like to have the best information possible. So I know to look for, you know, because in hospice you have to chart towards primary diagnosis, right? So you got to chart towards that. And, you know, we have, everybody has multiple comorbidities. Everybody does. So sometimes I would just chart from head to toe every single thing that's going on. They may not all correspond with their illness, but I also want to address everything. Like, end stage renal. Well, they don't always have lung problems. And so the medical director gets kind of hung up on, you know, the primary. And so I want to know, and I'm going to see if we can do that. Because our work phones are very particular. They have to get permission.
But if you can justify the benefits outweigh the risks on that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that they would, you know, they would even pay for it for you.
Maybe show it to them
and show them what you're talking about, like from your laptop, and then see what they say. Like, if I wanted to buy the program, which I don't need to buy the paid version, my boss would pay for it, but I don't need the paid version because there's so many resources available for free, such as the CDC website. You know, they recommend treatment guidelines. You know, the every major medical specialty has a national academy, like the National Academy of Neurologists. You can go to their website and they can tell you what the recommended treatments are based upon the current evidence-based medicine. All of these things
are
free. It's just knowing where to find them. That's the hard part. But this FP Notebook's a good starting place.
Mayo Clinic has a lot. I don't know if all of this, I mean, they have a lot of good information on the different disease processes you may have. I mean, are they completely reliable?
They do. They do a lot of research, but, you know, their research at times I have known to have been biased. You know, the Mayo Clinic, is to benefit the Mayo Clinic. I'm not going to lie to you. And the money that they do raise does go to research and helping treat patients and things like that. You tuck in, so the Mayo Clinic does have some good information. National Institute of Health and or what is it called? Those.
I was just going to ask you about that.
The National Institute of Health has a lot of, and the National Library also has a lot of current research, and it's not just research here in the U.S. It's research from all around the world, and they come together and they do these randomized and they do also these meta-analyses of. Several different people are doing research on the same thing, and some of these places combine the research and give an analysis of that research. And so when you're practicing medicine, using evidence-based medicine is the goal, because you want to give the best treatment possible to your patient. And so knowing the latest and greatest treatment options is highly recommended, I guess I would say. Not everyone does, though. Everyone just does the old school. Hey, you got strep throat? Oh, I'll give you some penicillin.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, not to ask a stupid question, but how was frostbite a sports injury?
Skiing, ice skating, ice hockey. Winter Olympic sports.
I guess, yeah. I just looked it up, and I'm like, really? I was just wondering how that could be that. But okay, yeah. I'm just looking up. I'm gonna really ask this a bunch of different. Websites that I'm really going to look into just to have. I'm always trying to learn more, you know, and until I get into RN school, which I'm trying to get ready to do my, I'm doing my prereqs now, so I don't know. After I see all the crap that the RNs are going through at work, I'm like, I don't really know. do I really want the hassle?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no. I like my little low-paid nurse job.
Hey,
you know,
so see if you can look up Hippocrates on your phone or your laptop.
Let me try my phone because I thought I might have tried it before. Let me look up. Cancel.
Or everyone out there, if you're listening, yeah, look up Hippocrates. E, it's E as an echo.
E, okay, E.
Pop,
here it is.
Papa Oscar.
It's
Charlie.
Hippocrates Drug Disease Clinical Support.
Hippocrates.com, www.hippocrates.com.
Yeah, but that's not what it comes up on my app. Is it, there's one, it's called Hippocrates, and then there's the drug.com medication guidelines.
Well, it is for drugs, you know, medication guidelines, so that may or may not be it.
Is it just E?
Yes, it's a big blue E.
Okay, so this is the right one. Okay. Hello? Oh, I got to create an account. What a pain in the ass.
Well, yeah, you don't necessarily have to create an account if you get online, probably on your laptop. So the phone, your iPhones, you guys they're real particular because they don't want them phones getting viruses, so you're very limited to where you can go.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get it. Now, what's it called? Point of care medical application?
Your Hippocrates with the big blue E.
Yep.
And then search when you get it there, search for morphine sulfate.
Okay. So that's not, yeah, it's about the right. Okay.
Now go to the list of morphine sulfate for that drug and look at the contraindications.
Well, this has, it says, Vibrance dosing.
Scroll all the way down the list of brands to the bottom where the generic morphine sulfate is.
Hold on, let me look at the Vibrance. Well, the laptop's a little different, so hold on. Okay.
An emergency? Okay. I'm sorry, I got distracted for a second. What'd you say?
Okay, so it says choose which one am I choosing?
The morphine sulfate, what? Just the generic at the way bottom.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so now it's going to tell you adult, pediatric, yada, 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 different categories, right?
Yep.
Go down to contraindications.
Oh, that did it on the other page. Hold on. Hold on a second. Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Hey,
contraindications. Okay. Oh, it won't let me. What a pain in the ass. It won't let me. Oh, my. Yeah, it's saying register or sign in and all that. I don't have a, I don't know if they make you pay for it or you just have to create an account to use it. If you know what I mean. Still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just had you on mute for a second.
Oh.
Okay, here. I forgot many, many years ago when I first started using it, I had to put my email and I had to make a password, but you don't have to pay anything. You can have a free account.
Oh, okay.
So what I'm going to do is I took a screenshot of it, and I'm going to send it to you just so, because
okay.
You do work with morphine a lot, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's on its way. I just want you to take a peek at that. Now, that's just
okay.
One medication. A lot of times, your patients are on tons of medications.
Honestly, we like to go over their medications and take them off. Once you get to a certain point in hospice, we try to take you off all your meds except for comfort meds.
Okay.
But,
well, good.
Usually when you get to a certain point where they're starting to, like, I would say the last month or two, we like to just taper them off, their aspirin, their blood pressure medications and stuff like that. Okay.
Did you get that list?
Damn. Yeah.
Okay, so you were talking about your renal failure patients. So if their creatinine is below 10, it's contraindicated. I mean, if their GFR is below 10. So what do you do then?
Yeah, but they're on hospice.
You just kill them with the medication too.
Well, you see, and here's the thing. He's on 125 mics of fentanyl. We just upped his oxy to 25 every 4 to 6 hours to keep him from using 1 mL. We do the 20 to 1 on the morphine. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he was taking 6 mL a day, 6 doses a day. So we had to up. And I'm like, I'm not going to up his fent because the fentanyl is pointless. But he's losing. He's gone from 320 pounds to 259 this year.
Wow. And so your average patient is 6 months or less, right, on hospice?
No. No. We have well, here's the thing. It's kind of offset. We've had a couple of them that's been over a year, but they do the – they're on, they get on, and then they're declining, plateau.
So they have to recertify every so often?
Yeah, every 3 months they recert, yeah.
Okay,
and,
gotcha.
Yeah, so and we'll keep them on as long as they're making a decline, whether it's weight loss, cognitive. There's got to be something to show decline. And, like, my other kidney patient I have, she has one kidney, but she has multiple TIAs. She's having TIAs every day.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but we have her for CVA, not renal, but she only has one kidney. And so it's like they fluctuate. We have people that sign on, they die during the admission process. So, and we've had a couple that's been on for a couple weeks. And that's what we try to educate. Don't wait to the last minute. You know, and we get some patients who are alert, oriented, completely with it, and die within a month. That's how fast they can decline.
And you know what? What would be a really good topic for me, if you ever get a chance to do it, or whenever you bring one of your hospice guests on?
Yeah.
The stages of death.
Okay.
Stages of dying. Not the denial, acceptance, withdrawals, but the actual physical stages of dying. Because you telling me about the mottled skin and about the cyclic fever and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's because I do have elderly patients that are in the hospital sometimes. And, you know, if I probably learn signs and symptoms of dying, it might actually help me decide on either a more aggressive treatment plan versus considering just a hospice.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Is Larna still on there?
Why, yes,
Larna.
I am.
I love you,
here
sweetheart.
I
haven't spoken with you in a while.
I know. I've just been busy.
Really? Have you taken any more Have you taken any more photos than your Daisy Dukes?
No, I was in Wisconsin. No. So, no.
So, you're no snow bunny, huh?
I'm a snow bunny pretty soon.
Well, you were working at, like, building a Office Depot or Home Depot or some sort of hardware store, right?
Yeah,
before the last time I talked to you?
That was in Tennessee. That was Harbor Freight. But after
Harbor
that,
Freight.
I couldn't work to save my ass, so I said, pissed on it. I came back to Wisconsin.
Now, what are you doing, like Laverne and Shirley at the beer bottle packaging plant or what?
No, actually, what I've been making is lens covers for gun scopes, 50 millimeter.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, just
yep.
Be careful being around all that plastic because those PCBs can get you, girl.
Yeah.
The
what?
Make sure you're wearing the proper respirator when you're around some of those plastics.
Yeah, I don't think the resin kind is what you're talking about, and they don't really use that there.
No? Oh, okay. So all right. Well, I'm just trying to think about you. I don't want you to get hurt from some job-related injury.
Yeah, no, they don't wear masks there.
Well,
but I know what you're talking about because there's some of that shit that's pretty nasty.
Uh-huh. Do you guys have unions there or no? It's just like a mom-and-pop place?
Mom-and-pop place.
Oh, so they do not have your best interest in mind. So you might want to consider getting your own little maybe respirator, like even an N95 to help you out from inhaling some of that shit.
Yeah, I wear a mask.
Yeah. You're not going to wear no damn mask?
I ain't wearing no damn mask. I live dangerously.
You know what I hate is they finally got rid of the mask mandate. All the facilities, no mask, but we have to wear a mask going into the facility. I'm like,
yeah,
seriously?
The hospitals still recommend, see where I'm at, it's still recommended, and, you know, obviously, you know, certain departments, infectious disease and others, you mandatory.
Well, I'm wondering,
for the most part,
why we do.
Yeah, for the most part, the hospitals have already, you know, if you go into the lobby or you go, you know, whatever, sometimes they request the employees to wear them that are having a lot of contact with the public, not to prevent the employee from getting COVID, to prevent the employee from giving COVID because they're always around people all day long. So, but
well,
normally,
yeah, I was going to say because we go to people's houses, we go into other facilities, and we're going in. I mean, I get it, but It's like, because if you're an employee of a facility, you're just there all day with them. I may go into multiple facilities in one day.
Well, the theory with my hospital privilege is you're fully vaccinated, and so you should not be contagious or transferring, you know, any sort of infectious disease. So other than the normal protocols for wearing a mask, you don't have to wear the mask in the hospitals now. But every hospital is a business that's run by a board of businessmen, so the rules are different. So it just depends on which hospital or facility you're in. But even a lot of the schools are doing away with the masks. But
all the VAs are the same, because they still make you wear it.
Yeah, the VAs have the rules are all the same for all the VAs.
Now, here's the thing. I went today to – it wasn't going into the – I had to go to physical therapy, and then I had to go to my doctor's office, which is the other end of the hospital. Well, I was on the phone talking to my daughter, and the lady at the front desk was like, "You need to put a mask on." I said, "How about no? I'm on the phone." I was like, "I got a mask. It's under my mouth, under my chin," and it's like, I just think people want to complain. You know,
uh-huh.
It's like,
yep.
And I'll tell you right now, in a lot of facilities and homes, my patients are like, "Take that damn thing off. I can't understand you."
True.
And I do.
Yep.
But I don't sit
and
like
have,
right up
I
in
have
their
patients,
face, though.
I have patients, elderly, who are hard of hearing. And subconsciously over the years, they've actually learned how to, like, coordinate lip reading with what little hearing they do have. And so you talk to them with the mask on, they can't read your lips. And so they'll say, I don't understand you, You take the mask off and they can hear every word you say.
And deaf people have that problem too.
Hey, well, yeah,
really
obviously.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it's just, I wish we could just, you know, it's common sense. If you're sick,
a lot of airlines
home.
Are even doing away with it. You heard about that, right?
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll be gone completely by the 21st when I go to Knoxville. If not, I'll be drinking that Diet Coke really slow over an hour. So I don't have to put the mask back on. I tell a lot of people are getting away with it. They're like, "I'm eating a bag of chips." And they'll eat one and wait another couple of minutes, eat another one. But people need to realize it's not going away. It's a cold. Stay home if you're sick. Wash your hands, you know. It's all common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it should be. It should be. But tomorrow when I go to the office, I will ask what are the good RNs that can, you know, who's got a lot of hospice experience to get on and do the show. So we can do that. Properly educate on. I did find something on the stages, the dying process, but it's only for 3 months out. So, and it's usually what to expect in the last 3 months. And that's the important thing, because you can be on hospice, depending on the individual's hospice, 1 year or less. So, but you'll notice that certain illnesses or whatever conditions that, like I said, they'll decline, plateau, and just keep doing that, and then they'll just tank that last couple months or last month. They'll just bottom out and tank. And so, and the thing that I have noticed is, depending on the size of the person, they can go up to 3 weeks with no food, no water, nothing, and survive 3 weeks, depending on how big they are, because uh-huh. they're just going to pull from the body.
Right.
And
right,
that's the importance of the comfort meds. We have one patient of ours that we have. She's in agonizing, excruciating pain, and the nurse practitioner will not, absolutely will not allow her to have morphine.
Why?
Will not. Because...
And this is a hospice patient?
Yes, she's a hospice patient. Because this is the importance of educating doctors and the PAs and stuff on... Because she said it'll interfere with her... She's on Depakote, and she's on two other medications. And it's like, you got to understand, this woman's in excruciating pain. She
and there's no other
dying.
Medication?
No.
So
she
she's on no-pain
so
medication?
That's why, no. She won't let her have, oh, Tylenol or whatever. She's not mine, so I really don't know. But, yeah, she's absolutely adamant about not allowing her to have it. And it's like, oh, my God. It, you get to the, oh, they'll get addicted. So, they're dying.
So, get addicted.
They're dying. I hate to be crass.
That person
but
should
dying.
Not be. That person should not be in hospice. And or that person's supervising physician should be notified, or the medical board, because that's not good.
Mm-mm. Our medical director is going to call her. Our medical director is going to call this PA, this nurse practitioner, and educate her on comfort meds. Because, when I say this, the patients and their family have to do it as delicately as possible. If you're in pain, you can't die. You won't die. Because your body's not comfortable. Once you get someone on a, and I'm not saying start high on morphine and lower, I'm talking we titrate up. And once the person is comfortable, they will pass within a week, if that. And the family's like, I had no idea. And that's what we have to explain. That's our job, is to educate the family on it. Now, you don't get me wrong. If you have a massive heart attack, yes, you can die, or stroke, or things like that. But a normal disease process or cancer or whatever, it is a long, excruciating death when it takes weeks upon weeks. It is very painful. So, but I will see what I can do tomorrow, and maybe we can do it next week. If I could get someone that's not working. So, we got 4 minutes, Bobby. Bobby?
Hey, beer.
Hmm.
Free beer. You know, I'm wondering if he watches TV while we're doing the show.
Colonel, I'm going to share an article with you.
Okay.
And you can show this to someone who may make a difference in that patient's life.
Oh, okay.
All right, it's on its way.
All right, I got it.
Ha, ha, ha. How about them Cowboys?
Oh, cool. Dang.
Oh, did they win a game?
Oh, yeah, they won all but one.
Oh, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Now Sunday, they get
to
play.
Sunday,
they get to play the undefeated Eagles.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
I only watch college football now.
That's all I watch because I gave up watching NFL.
Me too.
After Skumpernick.
Yep. I don't watch it either.
But anywho, great show, Kim.
Hey, what are the other shows? What are the other shows, Bobby? What shows, what night?
Monday night is Missing Persons. Tuesday is Medical Tuesday. Thursday is Current Events. Saturday is whatever Kimmy wants to call it.
Or if my son calls it Shit Show Saturday. So it's on whatever. It's either trivia or history or something to that effect. So, but yeah.
All right, people, I may be able to bring a special guest from one of the drug companies to discuss like one of their medications, maybe one of these days. But I'll let Colonel know ahead of time and coordinate it.
Awesome.
Okay. Cool.
Cool. Awesome. Buongiorno.
Love y'all. Thanks for another great show. God bless America, our children, first responders, missing, our veterans, our
military. God bless the atheists.
God bless the Defenders 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night, y'all.
And Lorna.
God bless.
Yeah, Lorna needs all the blessings.
Yes, I do.
She's blessed. Trust me. I've seen her pictures.